We've been looking at the Psalms, and this morning we come to the 8th Psalm, and we're going to be focusing in the main this morning on the first two verses of this Psalm. And it's about strength, strength from out of the mouth of babes and sucklings. And the theme that comes through this Psalm is that how the Lord, the things that the Lord uses to bring us into contact with Himself defies the wisdom of the world. The Lord takes the foolish things, the things that seem foolish to the wise. And within those things are contained the riches of heaven. Because in its literal sense, the word does not appear to be very sophisticated. In fact, in the writings, it talks about the fact that when they are compared to the philosophies of the world, they indeed do appear quite raw and quite basic in their style. But this belies the fact that this style is a divine style. It is the divine that has brought the word forth into a form that can contain the fullness of the divine life itself. The divine love and wisdom within the word, within its interior sense, is all the fullness of heaven. And that is contained in the literal sense. And so the literal sense is the power of the Lord in its fullness. And what is meant by that is that the Lord seeks to save all people. And so the literal sense of the word is accommodated down to the lowest level of human comprehension, so that those who are humble of heart, who look to the Lord, can be led into the inner meaning of the word, and so find there their salvation, find the Lord Himself. And so we're going to be looking at this psalm this morning and examining what it is to gain our strength from the mouths of babes and sucklings. So what we see from Psalm 8, that it is a psalm of exaltation and praise. It expresses the joy that comes to life when we have things in their right perspective from a spiritual point of view. When the Lord is given His rightful place in us as the very center and focus for our life, then a wonderful reordering of the mind can begin to occur. And it's a reordering that allows the mind to have those things within it through which the joy and happiness of heaven can be felt and experienced. So it's a wonderful thing that the Lord seeks to rebuild, to restructure our minds with thoughts and affections that are able to contain the life of heaven itself. And that process means that the Lord can be present from what is inmost to what is outermost in terms of our levels of consciousness. But it involves having the external or the natural man brought into subjection or obedience to the internal man. The natural man has to submit itself or be brought into obedience to spiritual and celestial things. Because it is celestial and spiritual things that make up the internal or spiritual mind. Hell, the heavenly doctrines tells us, is when external things rule over internal things. It is when the most exterior things take on a value and importance that disregards internal spiritual things. The internal things of love and wisdom. These things, love and wisdom, need to be in the ascendancy within us and rule over what is lower. And when that occurs within us, we become a heaven. We become structured after the pattern of heaven, where internal things or higher things are ruling over what is lower. You see, when we become overly concerned with external things, we invite states of worry and anxiety into our life. We move from trusting the Lord into trusting ourselves and our own ability to work our way through the complexities that we face. And we have all sorts of mental tricks that we play that keep us from admitting the state of disconnection that exists within us. We have states of denial that we enter into where we will not face what we need to face up to in order for the Lord to be more fully conscious and present with us. In the final analysis, the life of heaven can only be fully present or attained when we are working with the spiritual disciplines that the spiritual doctrines, the heavenly doctrines, point out that we must work with. The spiritual disciplines of self-reflection or self-examination and corrective action or repentance. This is what spiritual work is, and it never ends. It is something we do in this life and we will continue to do in the next life. So spiritual disciplines involve a genuine spiritual practice of making a conscious effort to bring the things of heaven into our daily lives. And it is as we do that, that we are transformed little by little. But over time, that transformation becomes much more evident in terms of the settled states that we begin to find ourselves living within. And so perhaps we can say with the psalmist, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent or how majestic is your name in all the earth. This statement of praise is a recognition that the divine presence as goodness or love is supreme and should rule in all the things of our life. The two spiritual loves are love to the Lord and love to the neighbor. From the perspective of spiritual Christianity, these loves have a very practical application. For to love the Lord is to live from His Word. This is what loving the Lord is. It's not sentimental. To love the Lord is to live from the truths of the Word. That is what loving the Lord is. And to love our neighbor is to seek to promote what is of the Lord in others within the structure of community. Because to love our neighbor is to draw out, affirm, and support what is good and true in them. And what is good and true, genuinely good and true in people, is in fact the Lord in each of us. So in this way, those two commandments are really one. To love the Lord and to love our neighbor. For when we are looking to support the development of what is good and true in each other, then we are loving the Lord in the neighbor. We are doing the two things simultaneously. But our ability to do that effectively will be directly related to our own personal practice of working with the Word in our life. On a personal level, we have a responsibility before the Lord to be examining our life or the life of our thoughts and affections. And we are to do this with a view to corrective action, to recognize what is opposed to the heavenly life and to work to have it removed from our thought processes. From the Word, we gain the ability to be sensitive to what is heavenly and what is not. The truths of the Word shine a light on our states, and for this reason, it is necessary to be working with the Word, that that light might shine within your mind. And when we are doing this, then we are living a practical spiritual life that is centered on a genuine concern for the spiritual well-being of others. The phrase, "O Lord, our Lord," is an expression of the spiritual truth that divine love is and should be and needs to be our Lord. The first Lord in the statement is the name Jehovah. And this name refers to the divine love itself. Whereas the second word is translated, that's translated Lord, is Adonai, which means master or ruler. And this word refers to the divine truth or the divine wisdom. In this simple statement, we see in its spiritual sense the universal truth that love is one with wisdom. That the divine being itself makes itself known to human consciousness by means of truths. And these truths descend down into the very external reaches of those who make love to the Lord and love to the neighbor the primary pursuit of their life. You see, love, in order to be real, must become expressed, and the means it does this is through truths. It is precisely because truth gives expression to love that makes it true. Love is a sign of truth being present. And truth that is genuine, that leads to love, is a sign that love is present. Something that is claimed to be true, yet does not bring us or others into closer contact with love, is not really true at all. The way in which love becomes real is through its expression. And our ability to see what is loving and what is good and what is true is a matter of perception. Because the divine love and the divine wisdom is fully present. But our ability to see it has to do with the structure of our minds. And the structure of our minds has to do with the quality of the truths that we have worked into our life. The things that we focus on, the beliefs we hold, and the values that we live from all form the ground or the basis from which we can see. And so the higher quality of our thought, of the truths that we hold to, gives us the ability to see love operating in every situation and circumstance or not. If we are building our minds with truths from the Word and the heavenly doctrines through their application to life, then we are able to gain a new perception of love. And when we have that perception of love, we sense the presence of the Lord, for He is in it. We begin to see that love indeed is all around us, that we are in wonderful and remarkable ways held by it. And as we come to see this truth, so we find ourselves held in more secure states of mind in which the difficulties that we inevitably have to face through living our lives in this world, no longer appear as troublesome as they once did. Being secure in the Lord's love enables this state to be manifest in our lives. When we are in a state of being conscious of being held in the Lord's love and in His care in the face of what we have to deal with, then we find that life can become something transforming. We find that things have more meaning, particularly from a spiritual point of view. We see that we are never left alone. Far from it, we find that the Lord is very real and very present and makes His presence felt as we draw back from states of anxiety and states of worry that the cares of this natural life seeks to draw us into. But to draw back from negative states of life so that we can have a separation from them is to move to a more internal state of mind. And in order to do that, we need help and we need support. And the support and help that the Lord gives us is His Word, the goods and truths that are found there. These are designed to create a new level of life and mind within us that we can draw into and so not be touched by the external elements of life. This ability to draw into what is of the Lord, what is of the Word within us, is open to all if they are willing to work with the Word as the basis for their life. No one need be overwhelmed by anxiety or worry. No one need be overwhelmed by negative forms of emotion to the point of hopeless despair. There is hope. The last thing the Lord wants for anyone is for them to feel abandoned. He wants everyone to be able to say with the psalmist, "How majestic is your name in all the earth." Don't think of earth here as applying primarily to the creation around us, the earth we behold with our natural eye. Yes, there are scenes of majestic beauty in the natural world that can take our breath away. And these certainly can provide us with a sense of the Lord's presence, beauty, and power. In a very real sense, they do have the power to lift us out of ourselves into what is other than ourselves, for a moment of time. But really, such experiences point to a deeper reality. They point to something we can have in the earth of our external man, into which what is higher within ourselves from the Lord seeks to find expression. We can see the power of truths to bring about transformative changes in the external patterns of feeling and thinking that we experience. We can find there that the Lord's name can be a majestic thing. It is majestic because it's transformative. And the earth being spoken about here are the external reaches of the mind. That is where the Lord wants to be made present. The transformative power of the name of the Lord has nothing to do with mouthing the name of Jesus like a mantra or magic incantation. The name of the Lord is everything that gives expression to His love and wisdom in a form that the human mind can grasp, can be connected with. Now, as far as spiritual Christianity is concerned, the most powerful expression of the Lord's name is the Word itself when understood in the light of the heavenly doctrines. When the Word is taken into our minds and used to examine our life, particularly the life and activity of our thoughts and affections, and we willfully respond to the challenges it makes upon us to think from what the Word teaches and not from how we feel, then we see the Lord making His way into the most external plane of our life. This is a truly remarkable thing, and it is in this experience of the power of the Word to change the earth or ground or foundation that the external man is that gives rise to this expression. How majestic is your name in all the earth? Can we say this with sincerity? How majestic is your name in all the earth? Do you know the power of the Lord in the most external reaches of your life? Do you know the power of His name, the Word? The next part of the verse is an acknowledgement that the power to transform our sense of ourselves through lifting it out of lower states of selfish and worldly concerns is sourced in the divine itself who is above the heavens. For we read, you have set your glory above the heavens. The name of the Lord in the earth is the Word, for this is the divine love and wisdom in its most external form. It is the Lord in His divine human. It is the Lord incarnate. The truths of the Word are taken into the mind through reading it and through hearing it. And in this way, the name of the Lord becomes present in the earth of our natural mind. It becomes majestic in all the earth when we obey it and so live from it. You see, the Word is not of a worldly origin. It is not a human invention, despite how it appears on the surface. It is the Lord in the fullness of His power to save us. It is the Lord our Savior. Worldly wisdom, or the wisdom of the natural mind, cannot see this. It looks on the Word and it sees something simple, unrefined, unsophisticated, and full of contradictions. But this very simplicity of its presentation is the height of divine wisdom. And taking the form it does, it keeps the way of salvation open to those who are able to receive spiritual things into their life due to their willingness to live from them. And yet it also closes the way to those who come in the pride of their own intelligence and reasoning. To those who come to the Word in humility, heaven is opened and the glory of the Lord is seen within it. To those who place their strength in their own powers of reasoning, the way is closed because they look at the Word and they see nothing of any value in it. And this is expressed in the next verse, in verse 2, where it states, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, you have ordained strength, because of the ones distressing you, to cause the enemy and the avenger to cease. Again, as with the word earth, don't think naturally in terms of the phrase out of the mouth of babes and sucklings. All expressions in the Word are spiritual and they are to be understood in relation to heavenly realities that have to do with our spiritual growth and development. Babes and sucklings, or infants in the Word, refer to the highest heavenly influences. They speak of what is of a celestial quality. The heavenly doctrines on numerous occasions illustrate this in that angels of the highest heavens appear as young children from a distance to represent the innocence that they're in. This innocence is the innocence of a profound wisdom. It's an innocence which arises from their willingness to be led by the Lord alone. It is this quality of a willingness to be led by the Lord alone that is meant by loving the Lord. In the spiritual heavens that sit below the celestial heavens, this celestial quality flows down and it becomes embodied in qualities of the spiritual life that are described in the Word as love to the neighbor. Now, the heavenly doctrines teach that the whole Word, the whole of the Word, is nothing else but the doctrine of charity. In other words, when rightly understood, the whole Word teaches nothing other than how to love the Lord and our neighbor appropriately. And this fact is captured in this expression: out of the mouth of babes and sucklings you have ordained strength because of the ones distressing you to cause the enemy and the avenger to cease. Here the term mouth, in Scripture, being that from which the voice is heard, symbolizes truth or teaching, spiritual teaching. And because it is the mouth of babes and sucklings, we have here the idea of celestial teaching. The teaching of celestial love and innocence. Therefore, the spiritual meaning of this verse is that it is by means of teachings to do with loving the Lord and loving our neighbor that the Lord ordains strength or the power to resist what opposes the heavenly life. From this we can see that the phrase "the mouth of babes and sucklings" is referring to nothing other than the Word itself. And on its surface this can be seen, for it has a childlike quality that is easily dismissed when we fail to appreciate that its origin is in the divine itself. Within this innocent, childlike appearance is the divine love and wisdom itself in all its fullness and glory. Here in the Word is the Lord Himself. And so, O Jehovah, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Amen.